So of course, you got the sheets there, so you can kind of follow along and fill in as we go. And so, when it comes to addiction, living to try to please ourselves or to please others, that can be a big contribution to our problems, right? Because a lot of times we want something that's not good for us, right? And, oh, it'll make me feel good. But then, of course, we realize, yeah, it made me feel good for a minute, but now there's all this regret and all the other consequences, right? Well, then sometimes trying to please others, a lot of times, I know we were talking about that in Full Throttle, with peer pressure, where you're trying to please people, and sometimes you think, oh, I'll be accepted, I'll be in the in crowd, but then you do something that they dare you to do, and you're good for maybe like, maybe a day, but then they're daring you to do something else even further, kind of thing, right? And so you end up not being able to really please them. And so, so it's kind of the thing, realizing that that could be a big part of our problems. But instead, if we think, okay, well, if I try to please myself, it's self-destructive. I try to please others, I don't get anywhere. But instead, if we learn to please God with our lives, we find not only are our lives blessed, but then we also become a greater blessing to others. It's sort of, sometimes it's the opposite of what we think, that we think, well, why is God saying to do this? What's the point? But then we actually find, hey, if I do this, there's all these other kind of side benefits that I don't realize. And so we're talking about these, like in this chapter 6, it's 6 procedures for pleasing God. And so we're going to look at the first 2 of those tonight, and they are giving God praise and then giving God thanks. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And so it's based on this verse in Psalm 69, where it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. And so that's what we want to consider, these things that please the Lord. So praising him and giving thanks to him. And so, with giving praise to God, when we praise someone, it means that we give them credit, where they've had done something and we acknowledge what they have done. And so when it comes to receiving credit for something, there are 3 options. And you can kind of think of it in this way, right? Say if you have a football game, the team wins, and everyone comes to the quarterback and says, oh, you're the star, you won the game, you're amazing. But then if the quarterback, if he says, well, if it wasn't for my receivers being so good, getting the right reads, and it wasn't for my offensive line, kind of holding the other team back, I would never have the time to be able to have the success to throw. You see someone like that where they get praise, but then they're trying to push it, they give it around and spread it around, right? But if you have a quarterback where basically someone starts to praise them and they're, oh yeah, I'm just awesome, and they don't acknowledge any of their teammates. And usually that's what you find, is like when they succeed, then they want everybody to notice them. But, of course, if their team loses, they don't say, oh, yeah, that was on me. It's like they throw their teammates under the bus that, oh, well, if they could learn to catch, then we would have won the game, kind of thing, right? And so we realize that just the attitude that a person should have, but then an attitude that we sometimes have, and it's not a good thing. So when it comes to receiving credit for something, there are 3 options. We can give credit to whom credit is due, or we can take credit for ourselves for what has happened, or we can withhold credit. And so that's kind of like where we're sitting on the fence, where we're not necessarily taking it for ourselves, but we're not giving credit when we should. And so we think about it that if God does something for us, but we don't give him credit for it, or we take the credit for it ourselves, it's understandable that that would displease him, right? That Psalm 18:3, it says that God is worthy to be praised, and we want to realize that, just all that he does for us, right? But if we just try to take the credit for ourselves, then we can understand it. And just the same as I remember, I think any of us have times where maybe we help someone. Say if it was in school, you have a partner, you're doing a project, and you put a lot of work in, your partner is slacking off, but then if you get a good mark, then it's like, oh yeah, this was my project, I did all this, and you didn't hardly do anything, kind of thing, right? But that's, you know how that would make us feel. And so we can think of it with God as he's trying to help us in so many ways, that he would appreciate. Now he wouldn't get as kind of bitter and upset as we would, but we can understand that's not something that's pleasing to him. But a lot of times when God is trying to help us, we can't do that. We take credit. I remember a story of this one guy years ago who was up shingling a roof with cedar shingles, and it was a steep roof, and he started to slip off, and he said, "Lord, save me." And just before he got to the edge, he caught his pants on a nail. And so you'd think he'd say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. That was a miracle that there was a nail there to catch me." But he said, "Oh, never mind, Lord. I caught my pants on a nail." And it's just kind of the thing is that that's sometimes how we do. Is like we're in trouble. We ask God for help, and he helps us, and then we take the credit for it. And especially when it comes to dealing with our addiction, we want to realize that is God's helping us along the way so much when we do have victory. And if we don't give him credit, if we say, "Oh, that was me, did that," that can get us into a bad place. And that's the thing. When it comes to our struggle with addictions, when we withhold credit from God, or we take credit for the help we receive from God or others to ourselves, what happens is we think, "I gained that victory on my own. I did this myself. I had such willpower or such strength that I was able to take these steps." But what that does is it leaves us vulnerable to relapse and defeat when we face the next challenge. Because it's kind of the thing is that God has done so much to help get us a victory in a certain area, but then we say, "Oh, that was all me." But then he says, "Okay, well, if you're going to own the victory, you're going to own the defeat too." And he'll step back and say, "Okay, you want to take the credit for this, go ahead." And then that's a lot of times when we stumble. And we actually see in Deuteronomy chapter 8 where God says, "Beware when you're full and blessed and things are going good, that you don't forget God, and that you don't say, 'Oh, it's my might, my power has gotten me this wealth.'" Because he says, "I'm the one that gives you the power to get wealth." And so we want to acknowledge him. And Joshua chapter 7 really kind of indicates this, because it's the story of the first battle of Ai. Because what happened is Joshua and the Israelites, they had this great victory over Jericho, where God caused the walls to fall down flat, and they were able to take this city that everybody thought was impregnable. But then what happens is the next city that they're supposed to conquer, Ai, they check it out and they say, "Oh, it's just a little city. We don't even need all the soldiers to come. Just a portion of them can come. We can take that city easily." And they actually found out they were totally wrong, that these guys were fierce fighters and they got whooped. And they had to find out why, and they had to get God's wisdom in how to actually get a victory. But that's the thing, is a lot of times God does something great, but then we say, oh wow, that was me, and then we go to the next challenge and we fall flat on our face because we're not giving God the credit that's due. And that's Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. And that's what contributes to it. If we're not giving God the praise, we're instead taking credit for it for ourselves, we're lifting ourselves up in pride, and we're pretty well guaranteeing our defeat the next time around. And so for God's sake and for our own sake, we need to develop this good habit of giving praise to God. And if someone praises us, we think of that like, yes, we have a victory, but we're part of a team, right? And God, it's kind of the thing, you really think about that in a football game, of just the O-line and just how big they are, right? And just if they don't do their job, the quarterback is getting creamed, right? And injured, and probably is not even going to be able to finish out the game if it's not for the O-line, right? And that's, a lot of times we have success because God is, there's a lot of things that God is kind of keeping away from us. And sometimes we don't even realize that. And so we want to just get in that habit where things are going good. We say, okay, God contributed this. I want to honor Him with this. And so making the most of those opportunities. And the thing is giving praise to God infuses us with a positive attitude towards life. And with that positive attitude, we can encourage and inspire others. And so that's why when we have first talk, that we talk to God in prayers, but also in testimonies, where we're praising Him, that this is something that we're doing, and we don't just do it just to fill time. It's for a reason, because as we praise God, it encourages others to praise God, that they see, oh, God is working in this person's life, and that encouraged me, that where we have testimonies, we'll praise the Lord, been sober for a couple of weeks or a couple of months or a couple of years, that other people hear that maybe just starting out, that can be encouraging, right? And so we want to learn to do that. It's a habit that pleases God. It's a habit that kind of keeps us safe from getting too big of a head and making ourselves vulnerable. But then it's helpful for others' sake as well. And so these are some things that we can think about from the Scriptures that we can always praise God for. And we want to have that thought of these things, that sometimes through life that we're struggling to think, okay, what can I praise God for today? Well, these things we can always praise Him for. One is His goodness to us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, that He is very good to us, that all that He provides for us in so many different ways. Secondly, we think in terms of His actions on our behalf, that His mighty works, that where we've seen Him some do things where things could have been a lot worse, but He makes things work out better than we expect, right? And it isn't us kind of conniving and finagling our way to fix something, where He kind of steps in and does something for us. That's amazing. As well, we can praise Him for the help and the hope that He gives us, because we can have times where we're discouraged, but we can put our hope in Him, right? And He's the one that lifts us up a lot of times when we're discouraged, right? He gives us some reason to keep going. But then as well, His enduring mercy to us. Because really, we can be thankful that we praise the Lord for He's good, for His mercy endures forever. And boy, do we need His mercy, right? Because it's like if He gave us exactly what we deserve for every dumb thing we ever did, like none of us would probably even be alive right now, right? But He's so merciful. And it talks about that His mercies are new every morning. That and we need it. And so we can praise God that it just, even sometimes when we face punishment for something we've done, that we can be thankful that even in His wrath that He remembers mercy. That we could have lost it all, but then He allows us to still have some things and regain some things in our lives that we thought were gone forever. So we want to develop that habit. That's the thing, is that we're trying to overcome destructive habits, and so we don't want to just stop them. We want to replace them with good habits. And so praising God is a good habit to get to develop. But then secondly, not only do we want to get in the habit of praising God, we also want to get in the habit of thanking God and giving Him thanks. And so when we give thanks, that's where we express our appreciation, that we show gratitude to another person, right? And it's kind of the thing, is that if we have a mindset of kind of where we're entitled to things, then we generally don't say thanks, right? We just expect, well, you should give it to me, you should give it to me now. And the fact that you let me wait for a little while is reason, like, if we're in that mindset, we often are looking for an excuse not to thank a person. And it's kind of like when you're in a restaurant, either you can have a mindset where, well, I'm looking for a reason to tip this person, or you can say, oh, I'm looking for whatever reason I can not to tip this person. And so it's the attitude that we have. And so we want to learn to be thankful as a person. And the Bible talks about that. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That God's will for us is to be thankful, right? Then Ephesians 5 verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things. And so we want to learn to do that. And that's a habit that we've developed. Whatever situation that we're in, if it's a good day or if it's a bad day, we find something to be thankful about in that. And we have that thankful attitude. And it's the thing, is that you're going to have some days where it may really seem hard to find something to be thankful for. But it's learning to do that. Because your mind wants to go the other way, where you're complaining and frustrated and wish you could be somewhere else doing something else. But it's learning to be thankful. I remember when I was in BC, I worked as a caretaker looking after these different apartments. And the one day, my guy that I worked for, he said, okay, well, what I want you to do is go up on the roof with the power snake, and I want you to basically run it down all of the stacks. And the apartment building was like three stories, and so I want you to run it down and basically clean out all of these stacks, because of course people were putting grease down the pipes and everything, and he just thought, we'll give it a good cleaning and that way we'll be good for a while. So I spent all day doing that, and it was kind of a rainy day, kind of cold, and so not a very nice day, and of course all the gunk that you're pulling up as you're pulling the snake out and trying to get that cleaned off. So it wasn't great, and then I was coming down with the cold, and so I got finished for the day, got down, cleaned myself all up, and was making supper, and here I got a call that what happened is on one drain, I thought I'd cleared everything else, but what had happened is actually knocked some stuff loose, and this lady, everything was totally plugged, and she had no drainage at all. And so then it's like, okay, it's after hours, and it's dark, and now I got to go and try to figure out this thing. And so it was actually plugged in the apartment below her, and the person wasn't there. And he had a check valve on his stack coming in the drain from the kitchen drain. And so I got this idea. I wonder what would happen if I pushed on the check valve to see if there's any pressure behind it. So I pushed it, and all of a sudden I had all this black gunk just like it was the guy, the owner was kind of there. He just turned his back and he heard this, and he turned around and I was like covered with this black gunk all over my face. But even in that, I was able to be thankful because I didn't have my mouth open when that happened. Right? And so it's not easy, but you find something to be thankful for. And learning to do that. Sometimes it's a real challenge, but it's important to develop that habit. I have to find something to be thankful for in this situation. It helps keep us in a good place mentally. Because this is a thing, especially tying into our struggle with our addiction, and it's the thing is that when we aren't thankful for what we have, if we start to grumble, we start to complain, we reach out for something that we think is going to make us happy. That if I just have this, then everything will be okay. But what happens is we end up losing what we had, but then we also find that what we chased after wasn't worth pursuing. A big example of this is the old Aesop's fable of the dog with the bone. That he had got this big bone and he was taking it home and he was going to enjoy it, but on his way home he crossed over this bridge and he looked down and he saw his reflection in the water, but to him he saw, oh, this other dog with a bone, and he thought, boy, if I snatch that bone from that dog, then I'll get two bones to munch on, right? And so he went and jumped to try to grab the bone from the other dog, but of course to do that he ended up letting go of the bone he had, so it splashed down in the water, and he went from having one bone, thinking he'd get two bones, to now having nothing at all. And that's so often what happens with many things in life. That, and really we realize the devil kind of says, oh, well, you're not happy with what you have. If you get this, this will make you happy. And so we let go of what we have, what God's given us, to grab this offer that the devil has for us. And then we end up, what he offered is worthless. And then what we had that was valuable, we just threw it away. And so we really want to identify how, if we're not thankful, how we can end up losing a lot of things in life that have real value. And so it's a thing that when it comes to our addictions, feelings of ingratitude can trigger us to use. When we start getting to a place where we're complaining, and we just think, well, boy, this life's rough for me, this is no fun, because what happens is we're down, and so we want to alter our mood, we want someone to pick us up, so we get to our drug of choice because it'll boost our mood. Or sometimes we use it, we hate our life the way it is right now, so we take the drug to escape from our life. And it's a solution, we think, but it, of course it doesn't make it any better, it only makes it worse. And so we can really think, when we get into that mindset of being ungrateful, of complaining, of not being able to see the good in the situation, that mindset is often what leads us down the path that we don't want to go down. And so we understand that God, His will for us is to be thankful, and it's not so much for His sake as it is for our sake, because He knows if we don't learn to be thankful, then that's going to be an area where we're always going to get caught and fall back into our old ways. And so though it's not always easy, we can learn how to be thankful even in difficult or unwanted circumstances. And so we can be thankful things are not as bad as they could be. And sometimes that's the exercise we have to take, is it's like, okay, just kind of like with me, it's like, yes, I got all covered with this black gunk, but I didn't have my mouth open, right? It can be like, say if you If you got in a fender bender and you think, well, okay, well, it's some damage, but it could have been a lot worse. I remember when I rolled my car, the adjuster, when I just was, because I found that it was going to be a total write-off, and he said, well, this can be replaceable, you can't be. And so he just made it very clear. It's like, be thankful that you, yes, this car got wrecked, but you're still alive and you're not injured. That even like I know when I cut the tip of my finger off, it's something that I can be thankful that I didn't cut more off, or that I can still actually work and hold down a job, that I didn't incapacitate myself. And so there's things we can be thankful for, and sometimes that's what we have to do. It could have been a lot worse. I remember one guy, a pastor that got robbed, that he said, well, I'm thankful that even though I was robbed, I didn't have much for him to steal. And he said, well, I'm thankful that he took what I had, but he didn't take my life. And he said, well, I'm thankful that at least I was the one being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. And so it was a perspective that he had of just getting a realization of it could have been a lot worse. But then as well, when we have something difficult, we can be thankful that it provides us with a chance to learn and grow. And this is something I think as a kid we might have heard from our parents, that we probably didn't appreciate it when we were young, but maybe we understand it as we get older. Where, say if you're going to go camping and you're hoping for great weather, and you go on the camping trip and it rains, and it's miserable, and your parents will say, oh, see, this is good. This helps us to build character. And you're like, I don't want to build character. I just want to have fun. But that's the thing, is sometimes we need that, right? And that's the thing, is say if you're having to wait in line or wait on the phone on hold for a lot longer than you think, that you can think, oh, thank you, Lord, gives me an opportunity to be exercised in patience. I must really need patience, so you're giving this to me, and so I'm thankful for that. And of course, that's not how we can act. It's like, oh, I just want to get done. I want to get through the line. I want to get finished. I'm so frustrated with this. But we got to calm down and say, okay, Lord, you're doing this for a reason. You know I struggle with impatience, and so you're trying to help me. And so we can be thankful in that situation. And the thing is, too, is that we can be thankful that in time, God is able to bring good even out of the worst circumstances. And we see that in Romans 8:28, where he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, and them are called according to purpose. And so, all things work together for good. Good days, bad days, where there's days of triumph, days of failure, days of tragedy, that they can all, God can bring good things out of them. And it's hard to see it in the moment, but over time we do find that. And I think the biggest example of this in the Bible is the life of Joseph. Because what ends up happening with him is his brothers hated him, and they ended up selling him into slavery. And so he went down to Egypt and he was a slave for many years, but life seemed to be kind of going good. His master really trusted him, but then his master's wife made a pass at him. He refused her because he knew he didn't want to get himself in trouble. But what does she do? Is she makes up this big story that he was trying to rape her, and so he gets thrown in jail, even when he was trying to do what was right. And then he's in jail, he's helping out people a bit in there, trying to be encouragement to him. And he asks the one guy that helps him, well, can you just please put in a good word for me? And the guy says, oh yeah, sure, sure. But then as soon as he gets out of jail, he totally forgets about Joseph. And so with all this happening, you could think at any point that Joseph is just going to throw up his hands and says, God has forgotten me. God has allowed all this stuff to happen to me. I'm just going to forget God. I'm just going to do my own thing, and I don't care anymore, right? But instead we find that he kept doing right, he kept having a good attitude. And so what ended up happening is the guy put in a good word for him. He forgot for a while, but he put in a good word for him at just the right time. And it ended up, Joseph got released, and he got raised up to a position of great power, where he was actually instrumental in preparing Egypt to face the great famine that was coming up. And at the end of his life, we see in Genesis 50, verse 20, his brothers, they had come into Egypt to get help, and Joseph had looked after them, but they were scared that Joseph was going to turn on them. Joseph was going to get his revenge. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And he said, what you did to me, you thought it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he had that perspective. And that's the thing, is sometimes we can have that, where something bad happened or someone mistreats us, and it hurts at the time. But then later on, we see, well, this was a good thing. That sometimes it's, we can have like a severing of a relationship, and it breaks our heart in the moment, but then we realize later on that, hey, I needed this. This was actually a good thing in my life. And so, in the moment, it's hard, but sometimes it's just being thankful, Lord, this is a bad situation, but I am thankful that you have the ability to make something good out of this bad situation. And some situations, he really has his work cut out for him to be able to do that. But we know that he is a God that can do that for us. And so, we understand giving praise to God keeps us in the right mindset so that when we face trials, we'll continue to look to God for help instead of becoming overconfident in our own strength and wisdom. So it protects us in many different ways. But then as well, giving thanks to God, that helps us to find happiness in our everyday moments. It isn't something, well, I'd be happy if this changed, if something different happened. That instead we just, I'm going to be happy in my life right now. I'm going to find things to be happy about. And it helps us to embrace and enjoy life instead of trying to escape from it. Because that's so much of the time is when we use it. It's because we don't like our life and I want to just get away from it for a while. And it's only temporary. And we need to deal with life. We need to embrace life. We need to make the best out of life instead of trying to just run away from it. And so it's a thought that bad attitudes can be very contagious. And we've experienced that too. When you've got someone that's grumbling and complaining, that person can really, like say it's on a job site, they can really lower the morale on the job site, right? But it's the thing is that good attitudes can be contagious as well. If you've got someone that's kind of upbeat, and willing to put in some words of encouragement, that's a good thing too. And so with giving praise, giving thanks, those are good attitudes for us to have. If we have them, it is contagious to others and encourages others to do the same thing. And so it's kind of the thing is a lot of it, we think about it, when you're dealing with addictions and bad habits, it's changing our bad thinking, right? And so we have to have something else to direct it to. And so if we think, okay, if I praise God, if I thank Him, I recognize His presence in my life, recognize what He's doing, and I give Him the credit for it, that's going to help me. That's going to keep me in a good frame of mind so that then I'm not going to dive back into using again.